O God, search us out wherever our spirits may be today, and speak a word of healing and grace, so that we too might bear witness to all you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things I love about our worship, and maybe you do too, is the time of sharing joys and concerns. As a church, we pray together. We pray for each other. We pray for the world, for those that we care about, for all the things that weigh on our hearts. And so in this time, we draw close to God, knowing that God hears us when we pray. But in order to do this, we have to take time to hear from one another. And that's why it's important, you know, we send the microphone around. In the days before the pandemic, some people would resist that and say, no, I can speak so that I can be heard. These days, we've got worshipers joining us from Florida, you know, sometimes as far as Japan. And I guarantee you, your voice, no matter how well you can project, your voice does not carry that far. So it's a good thing that we have this technology that helps us to hear each other. And then for the folks on Zoom, too, it's good to be able to hear them as they share their concerns. Sometimes the technology gets a little jumbled up like it has this morning, but it's important for us to get connected so that we can hear each other's voices, hear each other bear witness to the gifts that God has poured into our lives, but also the burdens that we carry. There's a theological reason, though, that it's important for us to hear from each other that goes beyond just the practicalities. In his letter to the Romans, Paul says that faith comes from what is heard. Faith comes from what is heard. That's why it's so important to have a sound system that connects us not just here in this room, but also across the network to other parts of the world. We encounter God not by looking deep within ourselves. If we listen to those depths, how can we distinguish the voice of God from the echo of our own desires and wishes? No, faith comes from what is heard, what comes to us from outside of ourselves. It's a message that shakes us up and turns us upside down. And so I want to talk about the gospel story today, because this is a story about words. Words that give life back to someone who had no life to speak of. And it's about the way that he turned and spoke what he heard to others. So there was this man, we're told, who lived among the tombs. He had many demons that used to seize him, and he frightened and threatened his neighbors so much that they tried tying him up, but he always broke free. The demons drove him away into the wilds, and so he lost his friends. He lost his community, isolated, naked, alone. Among the dead, he lived, if you could even call it living. But I do want to lift up a word of admiration for this man. These are violent, destructive powers that take hold of him. Just look at what these demons do to an entire herd of pigs, driving them off a cliff and drowning them in the sea. What a burden to carry this violence within you. And what an amazing thing it is for him to have borne this burden for so long and yet still to be alive. When this destructiveness surges inside him and he's no longer able to be restrained, he takes all the danger on himself and he carries this massive load of demons away into the wilderness. He removes the danger from his neighbors, though they don't credit him for it. Would it be too much to say that God was already at work in this man's life, keeping and preparing him for this encounter with Jesus? And if that's so, if that's true about him, then is there anyone so broken that God's grace is completely absent from them? In the people you most fear or resent, try to look for God's grace. And try to remember that so long as God is at work, the story is not finished. Now, one important detail to notice about this story is that Jesus is Jewish. In all likelihood, the man who he met, who lived among the tombs, was not. The fact that there were pigs kept as farm animals in this country should be a tip-off that Jesus and the disciples are outside of their comfort zone. The man greets Jesus as Son of the Most High God. Only non-Jews used that name for God. Jesus could have written this guy off. He could have told him what he told other Gentiles, which is that he was sent to the Jewish people and that the Gentiles would have to get in line and wait their turn. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he takes the message of the kingdom of God and liberation, new beginnings, a fresh start, and he makes that kingdom real for this suffering and isolated man. He tells the demons to leave him. He allows them to take possession of a herd of pigs, which they promptly drown. No one ever said demons were smart. And the man is healed. But this healing disturbs the community. The swineherds are upset that they've lost their animals, never mind that a human being has been given his life back. They run off to tell the townspeople what happened, and a crowd comes back to find Jesus and the man they knew as a possessed, tormented hermit, sitting calmly at Jesus' feet, wearing clothes, and in his right mind. You expect that the next sentence will read, "And they rejoiced." That's what you'd expect to hear. But instead it reads, "And they were afraid." Why? Why do the Gerasenes respond to the healing of their neighbor with fear? Well, what do we do in our own time with folks who are different in a way that we find threatening? We create separate spaces where we don't have to see them or deal with them. We no longer warehouse people with psychiatric illnesses in the way that we did maybe 50, 60 years ago. But we have prisons and immigrant detention centers. And when the stories of Indigenous or LGBTQ or enslaved people or their descendants start getting told, whether in our libraries or schools, there's a movement to shove those stories away, to bind them up so that we don't have to listen to them or see them and become uncomfortable. What Jesus does in this story is to remove the brokenness, to restore health to this man, but in a way that imposes a cost, an economic cost, a sacrifice on the community through the loss of their herd of pigs. And the judgment on this community in this story is that they value the pigs more highly than their neighbor's life. A wild, disheveled man living among the tombs, stuff happens. It's no big deal. But a herd of pigs rushing down the cliff into the sea, quick, send the swineherds into town to sound the alarm. These folks would rather keep their wealth and continue tying up the man, letting him live half naked among the tombs. They're afraid. They're afraid of the power of the kingdom of God that Jesus has brought among them, because who knows what it might do next. Now, rather than stand in judgment of the Gerasenes, which is easy to do from the space of 2,000 years, I'd rather have us take a look at ourselves. We learn to cope with brokenness to the point that we come to accept and perpetuate things that aren't healthy for us, that aren't healthy for our neighbors or our community or for creation. Where's God seeking to bring health and restoration today? Where is God seeking to bring in the people who live on the fringes? What's being asked of us? What do we need to set aside to lift the burdens that others carry? Now, the man who was healed begs to come with Jesus, and wouldn't you? I mean, his neighbors still hadn't accepted him. The one person who had demonstrated compassion for him was leaving, but Jesus doesn't let him come along. Instead, he gives him a job. "Tell how much God has done for you," he says. This man's job is to continue to disturb his neighbors with his presence, to be a walking, discrepant event, a human contradiction, a living refutation of the notion that nothing can ever change. you see why he didn't want the job. It won't win him any friends. It probably doesn't pay very well either. But the man takes that job anyway, out of gratitude for what Jesus has done for him. And so the good news that Jesus came to spread has an advocate here in the country of the Gerasenes. Maybe there's a part of you that can identify with the man who felt so lonely and vulnerable for so long. Maybe you've had your own experience of feeling isolated and shut out. And if so, I just want to point out that the man came out to meet Jesus, and he didn't know what to ask for. And actually, what he initially asked Jesus for was to be left alone. But some little voice inside him carried him out toward that encounter. And it cried out over the shouts of the other legion voices. Some little voice that told him he needed to hear a word of healing that he couldn't offer himself. And it was Jesus' words that brought the unclean spirit out of the man. In the Hebrew scripture lesson that we heard beforehand, when the only words that Elijah could find for himself were, "I'm all alone," it was the sound of sheer silence, or as some other translations read, a still small voice that brought God's presence and peace to him. When we're alone, when we're isolated and anxious, we need a word that comes from beyond ourselves. And over the years, I've spoken with some of you about your lives and where I thought God might be moving in them. The scriptures can be a powerful source of healing words as well, especially if you have a guide that you trust. But I'm also grateful for the ministry of counselors, where I know some of you have found hope and healing. There are many places around us where, like the man from the gospel, we can meet Jesus and hear the words that we need to hear. And so if you're stuck or alone, don't pass up on a chance to hear those healing words. We've only got so many years on this earth, and if there's even a chance that you don't have to be stuck where you are, why would you want to even wait one more day? Come out and meet Jesus, wherever that needs to be. Talking to a trusted friend, talking to a counselor, in prayer, whatever it takes. But maybe for you, those days are past. Maybe you have a memory of a disrupting word, a kindness that jolted you out of your funk, that gave you hope and put you back on the path toward healing. And so maybe you have a story like this man's about what Jesus has done for you. And if that's the case for you, then there's a reason you're part of our fellowship. Your job is to tell how much God has done for you, to be a witness to your neighbors that there is healing, that there's change with God, that we don't have to resign ourselves to endless wounding compromises with brokenness. Your job is to speak the healing words that you've heard. The theologian and teacher Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who returned from America to Nazi Germany to found an underground seminary for Christians to carry on resistance to Hitler and his plans, this pastor wrote a book about Christian community during this time, and I often come back to it because of the wisdom that's there. And he wrote a little bit about why we need each other. The message of Jesus, Bonhoeffer says, brings us hope and a new beginning. But God has put this word, he writes, God has put this word into the mouth of human beings in order that it might be communicated to other people. When one person is struck by the word, he speaks it to others. God has willed that we should seek and find his living word in the witness of other believers, in the mouth of another person. That's an amazing claim. What Bonhoeffer is saying is that this is part of God's plan, that we need each other to speak these healing words, that it's how God intends for the good news of Jesus to spread, that we speak it to one another, that we hear it from one another. We do believe in a God who comes out to meet us. Jesus crossed the sea, left his homeland, and landed in a foreign territory just to bring healing to one man. And in the same way, God meets us where we are, among the tombs or depressed, anxious, alone. Through Jesus, through our neighbor, God speaks to us a new word, a healing word we could never have pronounced to ourselves, and everything changes. So may your words, your actions, and your whole life express the grace that you find, the healing that you've experienced, the hope that you hold in Jesus. Amen.